You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com. You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. In this special supplemental episode, we're joined by filmmaker Jaideep Sarkar to discuss Rainbow Rishta, a six-episode docuseries that explores the lives of LGBTQ+ people in India, streaming now on Amazon Prime.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people. Happy Valentine's Day, Matt!
Yes.
It's Valentine's Day, if you're listening to this on the day that we're dropping it. If not, happy belated Valentine's Day to you all. We have kind of a special little supplemental episode here. We recently spoke to Jaideep Sarkar, the series director and executive producer of Rainbow Rishta, which, as we say in our introduction you just heard, is a docuseries that you can watch now on Amazon Prime about the lives of LGBTQ+ people in India. We're really excited to be talking about the show. If you haven't watched it yet, we really encourage you to do so. It's a very sweet show that I think opened our eyes to, the life of people on the other side of the world and the importance of equality and, you know, everyone deserving to have love in their life. So without further ado, here's our interview with Jaideep Sarkar.
All right. So with us today, we have Jaideep Sarkar, series director and executive producer of Rainbow Rishta, the new series on Amazon Prime about the lives of six groups of people. So, you know, sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's a couple, but it's also about their friends and family and sort of their circle in various parts of India. And it's queer people kind of on the precipice of a decision, I would say. So I guess my first question would be, how did you find your main characters for this show? Because they're all kind of at a crossroads in their lives, and you can't really conjure that up out of nothing. So did you do a casting call, or did you say, like, hey, are you in the middle of a big decision? You know, how did you find this group of people?
So, interesting, actually, because the fact that they had to be at the precipice of some kind of drama was very important for us, because, you know, at the end of the day, viewership, sort of the attention spans are getting shorter, and you have to keep stories which are very engaging. So, you know, it's a trans person getting married. It's immediately an uphill challenge. And you know that, you know, the situation and, of course, the characters. So, to go back to your question, it was, of course, we were looking for characters who would engage. We interviewed more than 250 people. Naveen Narona, who's a brilliant stand-up comic in India, he travels the country. So Vice Studios thought, and rightly so, that, you know, he'd be the best person, because, you know, he knew people from around the country. So he conducted these really sort of, you know, expansive interviews with around 250 people. But for me, when they would get shortlisted by a bunch of people and come to me, but I knew for a fact that if this person could hold my attention for the first minute and a half or the first 5 minutes, then it would make sense for me to go beyond that five, because the format is such, the camera is really bare, and I mean, and the situations are kind of bare, and the camera is just observing. There's no artifice. So the world and the character really had to be compelling. So yeah, and then of course, I wanted a representation from as much of the spectrum as I could. So there's a gay couple, there's a gender queer person, there is a trans person, two trans people, lesbian couple. So as much as we could. Of course, there's a lot more that we haven't covered.
And you had good
Yeah.
geographical diversity as well, because you're all over
Yes.
the country. Was that
Yes.
a target for you as well?
For me, I think representation at all levels are important because it only makes our world richer. So I was really greedy for sort of grand a grand scale, and the grand scale is not just drone shots, right? A grand scale of storytelling is also the kind of strokes you're painting with. So I wanted Manipur, I wanted Hampi, I wanted Delhi, I wanted that sort of the kitsch, the life of Lajpat Nagar, I wanted Bhayandar. So and to my sort of great good fortune, and both the production house and the platform enabled it. They enabled to tell these stories that have been on the periphery, at least in Indian mainstream entertainment till now, would get a center stage, and they would get a center stage. So yeah, so covering a geographic span was a part of that ambition.
And you've got like big cities, obviously some of the biggest cities in the world, but Saddam, he's in what, Manipur, and it looked
Manipur,
like a pretty
yes.
rural area. So you're gonna like, one of the things I admired about the show is it didn't really show like prejudice. You didn't see people walking around getting yelled at, or some awkward thing that might
Yeah.
happen over the course of a day, like a microaggression.
Yeah.
But I have to assume, maybe I'm wrong here, I probably am, but like, being queer in rural India, like in Manipur, for instance, probably has a few more challenges involved than being in a big city. But I might be completely out to lunch on that.
You know what you said about the small town and the big city thing, I completely disagree with that, and
Oh,
that's something that
okay.
has been a revelation to me. I realize that I live in a big city. I live in Bombay and Mumbai. I live in Bandra, which is one of the posher suburbs, and I have seen a lot more prejudice in Bandra than I have in Jamshedpur, which is a small town in Jharkhand where my partner's family lives. And and I think intrinsically our society and our culture has been a lot more progressive and sort of more fair. And I think there has been a the colonialism's one of its last dregs has been these laws they have left us with, So our idea of gender has not been so binary always, but it is with the coming of colonialism that that happened. So in the bigger cities, so for example, in Daniela, who gets married, in her story, if you see Bhayandar, it's not one of the posher suburbs of Bombay, but I found far more progressive people there who were standing by love. You look at Joel's mother, what she says, what do you see in the mirror? You see a woman, you're a woman, I was stumped. So I think somewhere, coming from bigger cities, we think we have a chip on. But I mean, that's only sort of particular, I think, to India. I don't know whether it's applicable around the world, but I think in India there are a lot more progressive pockets in the B towns, in the villages, than and it's only my personal experience. I don't think I speak for, it's not an absolute truth.
Oh, I'm sure it would be the exact opposite here, because we grew up in like rural Alberta, and yeah, like that was a very conservative place. So I'm happy that that's not the same all over the world. And I think even Ayushman kind of had a little bit of a question about that, because Ayushman is kind of unwilling to go home and tell his parents about his lifestyle, but maybe it would have been more easier than he thinks. I don't know. I don't want to ruin that story, but that's kind of where I got that impression from, is that so worried about going back to Ranchi, I believe. Ranchi? Ranchi? So yeah, I thought that was really interesting, that cities might be less safe, because here they're definitely seen as the progressive bastions, especially where we live. But when casting your main characters per se, you're looking for various sort of decisions they're making, transition points. But did you realize that some of them were going to be a lot more complex and kind of tragic in some ways than others? Like, I would say that the young lesbian couple looking for a house is like, they have a much smaller set of problems than other people, but maybe that's just showing that things are getting better and they don't have to deal with a lot of the baggage of the past. But like, how much of their like backstories and things did you learn about over the course of working on the show, as opposed to kind of the casting process?
No, I mean, obviously we had to immerse ourselves. We spoke to our characters over a year on Zoom calls, and then we sort of went into production when then we went for recce, and then we spent time with them. So, we went beyond just being online and doing these long calls. So we became family. It was, I don't know whether it was the kind of genre we were with, we had to be honest on both sides with each other. So, but one thing that we learned very early on is that we could not compare the challenges of our characters, because what Daniela may have, Trinetra may not have, and what Trinetra may have, Daniela may not have. And, because, for example, for Anis and Sanam, for them to get that house is so important, because they're not being able to. They're almost they just have a mattress. That's all that they have,
Well, they got a new mattress, though. They were pretty excited about
Yes,
that.
they got a new mattress, and then that became their home in somebody else's home, So, in fact, I met someone in Phoenix, Arizona, who said that, there's so much that we take for granted here, but it was such a learning to see that, even getting something as basic as a house as an openly queer couple is so hard in India. It's not entirely true. There are certain, this thing, but yes, it is. That, I mean, we had sort of, pinned hopes on the marriage equality thing last year, and that didn't come through for the queer community in India. So that has left us a little heartbroken, but the fight continues. But yeah, I think all the problems were complex and challenging in their own way, and we chose stories which had real challenges, because that's where the drama is.
Well, and they're technically a live-in couple too, and like some landlords don't want to rent to them, as far as I've learned through some movies. So like that's a whole separate challenge that is kind of on its own. But like they said that they weren't even allowed to, basically the one girl had to hide in the closet whenever the landlord showed up, and they couldn't actively be out basically in their own home. So that is quite a challenge for them.
I think all of the
It's
challenges.
absurd.
And all of the challenges are so relatable. Like we remember going out and like getting our first apartment together. We remember that experience, but no one told us we couldn't move out together. No one told us we couldn't have a place together. And so, because it's kind of a universal experience, it's really easy to relate to it and then just kind of feel that crushing kind of disappointment and frustration of like, but why couldn't you just get an apartment?
It's an absurd, absurd reason why you can't.
I think something that we see a lot in entertainment documentaries about that focus on the lives of LGBTQ plus people is it often focuses on trauma. It often focuses on hardship, And one thing that's really lovely about this series is I think it really there's a really fine balance. You know, as we said, there are some challenges because that's where the drama comes from, but also it's very happy. It's, you know, you see people thriving, living their lives and in love. And I'm just curious how you approached that balance. Because I think it's really important to see representation, of people thriving.
I mean, I'm so glad you asked this question because this was actually at the heart of I think all of us making this. We didn't I'm 44 and I did not have role models when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s. I did not know what a functional queer person looked like. You know, it was either a villain or a victim or so. You know, if I had seen more life affirming characters, I wouldn't have waited to come out till I was 33. So for me, it was important to tell people that yes, life is hard. I mean, queer people, yes, life is hard. Queer people who are struggling to come out, but you know, we can dream audacious dreams, and we can make it happen for us. So for me, I saw all the characters as superheroes, as my 14-year-old self. You know, so I needed it. I needed someone who's 14 right now seeing this show and getting that kind of courage because it took me a long time to understand that I have the right to be happy, you know. And if I keep, you know, and I find it very detrimental when there's only victims and villains being, you know, shown, you know, queer characters being cast in these tropes. It's e an easy sell. It's a great sort of, you know, easy writing fix. Like, you know, if you're in a in a bit of a situation, you know, you can create this trans character who's a killer, and you know, everyone's like, oh my God, you know, you're just seeing them as a freak. You're dehumanizing them. And it continues till today, you know, it continues till today. So in a sense, for me, making this was also political, slightly political for me to say that, you know, we have agency and we can be happy. And when the five of us are in a room, we are a lot of fun. And it's up to you if you want to come and join the party.
Well, I was about to ask, I'm sure you can really go into it because of licensing reasons, but we've noticed in the past 5 years or so, kind of a lot more queer representation, at least in Hindi cinema, and a lot more of that non-stereotype representation.
But at the same
For
time,
sure.
there's still a lot of these performances are still going to straight cis actors. And so, I mean, like there are examples, obviously, of projects that have cast transgender and queer people in transgender and queer roles. Made in Heaven, obviously. But still, you know, I think about a film like Chandigarh Kare Aashiqui, where Bonnie Kapoor is playing a transgender woman. And, you know, while we enjoyed that film, it'd be nice to see a transgender actress playing that role. And so we were interested, you know, because our perspective and what we look at the show is Bollywood. We were interested in kind of so we're interested in your perspective on representation in Indian cinema and TV at the moment, in scripted.
No, so I think it's a little bit of a complicated situation here. So the ground realities are so lopsided, I think, in the industry today that, you know, if you, I mean, today, for example, a lot of female technicians in the camera department, you know, have to really struggle against many odds to be taken seriously, you know. So in many spaces, things are so gendered. You know, there, for example, there are no, and I think when it comes to trans characters, they should definitely, I personally feel, be played by trans actors, you know, who but at the same time, there are not too many open and out gay actors. I mean, you know, if I have to make a mainstream film, and I want to be, I do not want to make a small budget film. If I want to make a big budget film, you know, and I need the resources, I will have to take somebody. And I don't think, you know, an actor with a skill can play anything, right? I mean, they can play an alien. So I don't necessarily think, but yes, representation is important. So I think for me personally, I want to break that representation by taking out people from gendered roles, like, you know, a queer person in a makeup department, or like, you know, a female costume designer and a male DOP. Like, you know, those are things that I want to change, because I think we're jumping the gun right now. I mean, there are very few openly queer actors. And they're great, but then a project has other, apart from talent, you know, I mean, if you need to raise certain kind of funds, yeah.
Well, I mean,
I
there's
mean, for me, Badhai, though, was very good,
yeah.
because, you know, it took the conversation to so many Indian homes, and
Yeah.
the politics of the film was so good. Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many social ills that Ayushman Khurrana can cure in his various films. I mean, I want to see a movie where he's been the same guy in all of them, and it's just like the most enlightened person lived, because he's in
But what a
character
good
so much.
actor. What an amazing actor.
Yeah. Was there kind of any symmetry with Trinetra playing a character on Made in Heaven, and then also another sort of Amazon related production of yours? Like,
Oh,
did that work together nicely, or how did that come about?
yeah, no. I mean, Trinetra is such a goddess. I mean, ever since I've been following her for a while now, and on Instagram, and you know, I mean, I think she really, when I speak of a superhero, she really embodies that superhero. And then it worked out so sweetly for us that Made in Heaven released, I think, a few months before us. And sort of, you know, she was so widely loved by so many people. So it kind of worked out for us, and it was the same platform. So no, it was just one sweet coincidence after the other. But I think the main reason for us to cast her was for someone who was 25, who was 26 now, so 25, 24 when we sort of cast, to be a doctor, to be an actor, to
That's
have the
amazing.
audacity to make this life happen for herself. I was like, that's my Marvel superhero.
That's amazing. Like, how are you a
Yeah.
doctor and an actress at
Yeah,
24,
it's
25? Like, doesn't it take a long time to
incredible.
go to med school and then also learn?
Yeah,
Where
yeah,
does she find the
yeah.
hours in the day?
We were in awe of her.
Absolutely.
Just
Yeah.
anytime she was
And
on
it's,
screen, awe.
yeah. No, I mean, and she, doctor, actor, and a social media career, which is, I mean, you know, which takes up a lot of her time.
Just a very impressive
Blessed,
person all
gifted,
around. Yeah,
gifted. She's
incredibly
lovely, yeah.
difficult.
What has the impact of the show been? It came out in November, and we're now in February, and so kind of
February, yes.
within those months, what's the impact of the show? It's been very well received critically.
Yeah, it's got a lot of love, you know, and it's well, for me, I think, you know, you don't remember things in sort of, you know, a blanket. Like, if I had to talk about these last 3 months, but I remember little conversations and spurts, and I remember how my 76-year-old aunt called, and she apologized on behalf of humanity, and, you know,
Oh,
she's
wow.
deeply religious, and you know, so it was, she's a deeply religious person, deeply religious person. So that, and then there was a beautiful fan review from Uganda where it's punishable by death
Yeah.
being queer,
Wow.
and they did this anonymous review, and they said that, you know, this gives us hope, and, you know,
Wow.
messages from Kazakhstan, you know, so and I don't just mean only these places which are far removed from us, but what I mean is that, you know, people finding deep resonance with the show in this way is not something that I had imagined. So people feeling seen, people being deeply moved, or people realizing some basic things. Like, so many people in the beginning were telling me things like, we forget they are also human. And I'm like, one second, you didn't think of me as human?
Yeah.
Like, you know, having very basic realizations. I think what they're trying to say is that, you know, we didn't see them beyond labels, you know, we didn't see them beyond labels. So for me to show the mundane in my characters' lives was to also humanize them, to see Soham do dishes, you know, at the end of the day. You know, I said this, if I have two samosas, I'll also have acidity. Do you know what samosas are? They're like this fried snack. If I have two samosas, I'll also have acidity. Not just because I'm gay, you know, it's not going to be something different for me. So people realizing that the depth and the kind of clarity that people have got, some of them, and the kind of depth with which it has touched people, has just been so beautiful. It's been really lovely. And yeah, we got some good reviews. We've been nominated for GLAAD for Outstanding
Wow, nice.
Documentary.
Congrats.
Yes, I'm so excited. Thank you so much. Thank
Well
you. Thank you.
deserved. I think you could do a spin-off with Soham and his partner going on various vacations
A
and kind of getting in arguments because,
travel show.
yeah, the
The
kids were adorable. I love them. And then
kids are
also, it
adorable.
was very relatable because I'm definitely the one who doesn't quite think through every scenario and just, it'll be fine. And then someone, feels left out or something. Like, whatever, it's okay. Like I'm definitely the most more go with the flow type person, so I totally understood that. But like, they could have been like in a a comedy series of just these two, just kind of bouncing off of each other. I was almost kind of I was.
I love the fact that, you know, you as a straight couple are kind of identifying with this queer couple, because that's what I was talking about earlier, that, you know, it's actually the same thing. It's the same thing.
It'll all work out in the end. That's kind of my belief. But sometimes it doesn't, and Aaron will let me know. But that is really important to see. Like I've always felt that the biggest gift that film and TV has given us is empathy and the ability to empathize with people around the world. And this is a show that I think really exemplifies that, and the ability for film to do that. To empathize with this group of people in India who have, very different challenges and backgrounds from us, but at the same time, we can relate to the things that they're going through. Not everything, Not
but
everything,
but
not
obviously,
everything, but you can relate to, but then also again, empathize. You can feel for
Well,
these
the relating is
situations.
first, and then afterwards you're like, oh, well, what'd I do in that situation? Well, what'd I do in this situation? I mean, that's just how you create empathy and sympathy, right?
Do you know what the
Isn't that most beautiful? Like, I think the things that are truest and then the most, like Satyajit Ray had said, that, you know, the more local you go, the more global you become in that sense. Like, you know, I think human experiences are just so, at the end of the day, if you look at life very closely, it's the same thing.
Yes. Do you know what the impact has been on any of the on any of the characters who appear? Any of the we keep calling them characters.
They're real
They're
people,
real
but
people.
yeah.
Do you know
People, they're real people.
what?
Yeah,
But
they
the
are.
but subjects also feels weird, Iris. Do you know what the impact has been on any of them?
So I'm in touch with, I think, most of them, and you know, they have really Daniela and Joel are very happily married. Soham and Suresh are doing well. You know, Trinetra has moved to Bombay and, you know, shining in what she's doing. I mean, so everyone's, you know, lives are kind of moving on in that sense. I don't think I think what you saw is actually what the journey was, which is the healing happened in the making of the show, you know. And I think as much as the cast, I mean, we called it the cast, so as much as the cast, the crew also healed in a sense. So, you know, I mean, what would you mean by impact? I mean, if I may not be answering your question. Impact in the sense, have their lives changed? Have
Yeah, they I saw Daniela was interviewed by Hindustan Times, I think. Just are they becoming more, I don't know, known for their local show or like is it has it changed their lives in some way that they hadn't anticipated? I guess that I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't watched it, but one of the characters kind of leaves their coming out up to the show, essentially, and that was the one I was the most curious about.
Oh my God, that's a big spoiler.
Well, I could edit that out, but I did want to ask you about that anyway.
No, that's
Like,
okay.
yeah, I thought that was a really interesting move because you kind of have to say, like, hey, check out this TV show. Why? No reason.
It
Yeah.
makes it
So
easier.
that's one question that I think we all get asked and Lush gets asked. They have come out as far as their sexuality, but way before the show release, actually. So
Okay.
after the shoot, but before the release. And the parents are sort of, coming to terms with it. I don't know if they know about their JAG life yet.
Well, I gotta
And
watch
I
the show and
don't
find
know
out.
if the parents have seen it, the show. I don't know if the parents have seen the show. I think denial is a very big sort of thing that Indian parents have. I think it's one. So I don't know. I don't know about that, about the drag part of it. But Daniela and Saddam, and I think all the characters, Daniela the other day on the train, someone, she was, taking a train to work, and somebody ran up to her and said, thank you so much for sharing your story, and I will always remember to be kind to my children. And so that was a very moving bit. And then Saddam went for, I think, parade, Pride Parade, where,
Wow.
he was accosted by fans, and
He seems
yeah,
like a
lovely
pretty private
scene.
guy too,
He
so
is,
yeah.
but he loves
Probably
the love.
wasn't too into that.
But he so yeah, there's a lot of love coming all their way. And very different people are seeing themselves in different characters. Everyone asks me who's seen the show, oh my God, are the girls doing fine? Like, everyone wants to protect Anis and Sanam, everyone feels like it's lovely to see, because this is something that we have felt for our characters for 2 years, and now for people to feel that love. And it's interesting how the show has taken viewers into the living rooms and bedrooms of these characters, and it's which is why it's also reality and not just documentary, because you're riding emotions with the characters. And now I get a lot of calls from people who are like, okay, so what's happening with Daniela right now? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. They're addicted. They want to know more about Daniela
Well, it sounds like you should
and
do this sort
Sunetra.
of Michael Apted thing and check in every few years, because that could, that might be of interest, right? He did what, every 7 years, I think?
Seven up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be curious to see where their lives are at every now and then.
You become very invested.
Yeah, you do,
26
you do, you do.
episodes.
Yeah. But now we live in times of Instagram, so we can
Yeah,
always go and check what everyone's up
yeah. They'll
to.
put their own updates up there.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
not every person who was featured in that documentary over the years wanted to continue to appear in
Oh,
them.
and the 7-Up ones,
Yeah. I guess. What's next for you? What can we look forward to in the future? Do you have any projects that we should be looking out for on the horizon?
Yeah, so I am actually, I needed a long holiday, so I took a long holiday. Right now, I'm actually concentrating on writing, and it's really hard to be disciplined. So I've been an advertising filmmaker for a large part of my life, and then I made this post the lockdown, and now I'm doing a show, which I have deadlines to meet, and it's just so hard to sit down and just, work by yourself. I'm more used to being on set, but I'm really enjoying it. It's a comedy, it's a satire, and that's something that I really enjoy. And it's an 8-episoder for an OTT platform, so that has my love and heart right now. And it's fiction. It's fiction. So
Okay.
it's yeah, it's a satire, and I love comedy, so I'm very excited about that.
Cool. Well, we'll keep an eye out for it. Yeah.
yeah, we will definitely be on the lookout. The
Yes.
the TV show streaming space for Indian content right now, I think, is often catching our attention more than the movies these
Yeah,
days.
yeah.
Definitely for Hindi.
Yeah, no, there's some good stuff happening right now. Last year there were some really good shows. And they're doing well. A lot of them are doing really well, so it's promising, because a lot of interesting stories are being told, which probably wouldn't have found a platform. Like, I don't think I could have made Rainbow Rishta 10 years ago.
Yeah, and
So,
that was with Vice too, right? Because they did a Cinema Marte Dumb Talk, which,
yes,
yeah, that would,
yeah.
not exist, most likely, because those guys are
Yes.
beyond obscure. But
A Canadian company base
yeah,
originally.
originally Canadian company.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yes.
that's the one thing we can point out. But
Yeah.
yeah, like it
Absolutely.
seems also like the streaming world, it has less restrictions in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, and it doing well is important, because then a certain kind of stories, otherwise, theatrical kind of tends to move towards only the mainstream, big budget kind of space. So it's important, and I think it's really exciting and great what's happening in OTT in India today.
Yeah, I remember when what Sacred Games came out, and that was basically
Oh
the
my
only
God, that was a
thing.
long
And
time
now
ago.
there's 50, 60 shows that come out every year. It's crazy to keep up with.
More, I would think. More, I
Yeah,
would think.
we don't
Yeah,
even get
wow.
like what is it, Sony Live? We don't get that. We don't get Jio.
Oh.
We don't currently get Sony Live or Jio, They're
but
just
pretty
not
much all
available.
the
Yeah,
rest.
they're not available here.
There's
So
no way to access it. There's no way
you'd have to
to.
VPN it, but
All right.
we try and do everything above board.
Ah,
Yeah. But like
okay.
it's
Well,
it's
appreciate the intention.
but we have Z5 and we have Hotstar, so we have
Right.
all that stuff as well. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming to
Right.
the show.
Sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great chatting with both of you.
Thanks again to Jaideep Sarkar for coming on the show and talking Rainbow Rishta with us. It's 6 episodes long. It's on Amazon. It's worth checking out. It's kind of a breath of fresh air, honestly.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, early March. And what are we going to be discussing, Matt?
Well, it's March and we're going crazy. So that means it's March Madari Madness time.
Yes, it's our annual Madari Madness, which happens in March for March Madness. So we'll be back with the first week of March. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
At Bollywood Pod, Facebook.com/BollywoodIsForLovers, Tumblr.com/BollywoodIsForLovers.
You can email us at BollywoodIsForLovers@gmail.com.
That's honestly the best way to talk to us now. The social platforms are collapsing in front of us, but email's still good.
Yes. You can also leave us a review and a star rating on your podcatcher of choice. If it's not Apple Podcasts, just let us know. And then you can, just send us the review. And then you can collect your Biffle points.
Listen to Aaron's other show.
Yes, you can listen to my other show that I would do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Rot in the Movies. We're putting together an episode right away here on movies that are set in the past but use anachronistic music. And so we're going to be looking at A Knight's Tale and Marie Antoinette. So that should be a lot of fun. And thank you to Becca Dahlke for our artwork.
See you later.